back to the UAMA podcast. Today we have Kelby and Evan from Berlin. So welcome guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Hi. Excited to be here.
So Berlin Communications is an agency here in the city, and they do all things from commercials, they are full service agency, right? Independent as well. And just tell us a little bit about yourselves, Berlin, and your roles within the company.
So I'm Kelby. I am the Director of Client Services at Berlin. Berlin is a really unique ad agency in that we're not like the traditional ones that go out and sell hamburgers or the latest, coolest, trendy object, but instead we're working on complex issues, shifting perceptions, and kind of building out campaigns that are really focused around driving advocacy and We often refer to it as tearing down walls. So we're tearing down walls between our clients and whatever might be in their way to get to that end goal or their objective. My role within the agency specifically is to manage our account team. So I'm on the leadership team there and kind of just manage our day-to-day operations, making sure that all of our clients are taken care of and kind of get pulled into things here and there as needed.
Yeah, we really call ourselves an advocacy agency because it's the most broad way to explain what we do, and it kind of comes out in many different ways, like advertising, communications, public relations, whatever basically we need to do in order to shift those perceptions and get what we need to get done. So my name's Evan. I'm an account manager, so technically Kelby's my boss, but she's a cool boss.
I did not tell her to say that, just to be clear.
I'm being paid to say this. No. So I act as the main client contact. So if a client needs anything, I'd be the first person that they'd reach out to get whatever they need done. I also kind of act as the middleman between our creative team and our strategy team. And I make sure that all those pieces come together to get that final project done.
That is a great summary of who you guys are. So let's talking a little more technical here is, how does the structure work? Is it like account coordinator at the bottom, then like director, manager, kind of thing like that? Because I know a lot of people, when they're applying for jobs, like new grads or fourth year, fifth year marketing students, they're unsure what to go for because there's a lot of like there's strategist, analyst, like there's all these things. They're not sure what actually is like an entry level title, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a good question. I mean, so there's obviously interns, right? Ideally you move from an intern like Evan, move from an intern into an account coordinator. And I think every agency you go to or every organization that you work with is going to have a slightly different title for things. But typically you're going from a coordinator role to a manager role, to a supervisor role, to a director role. And then it kind of goes up from there as well. And I think that even in strategy too, it's like a junior strategist before you're a full-on strategist, before you're a senior strategist. So kind of looking for those little keywords and looking at that level of experience that they're asking for in terms of the years required.
I'd say agency-wise, it's almost always coordinator coming straight out of school, but it can vary a little bit.
So this question's mostly directed to Kelby. So you've lived in multiple cities, countries. You were in New York before coming to Edmonton. How does marketing differ between the locations, and was it difficult to adjust if it was different?
Yeah, I mean, working in New York City, the reason I went there is because it is kind of like the hub of all big advertising, right? Like, it's a place known for it. You walk into Times Square and you're just surrounded by all of these ads. So as you can imagine, a lot of the larger clients with really big budgets and kind of big hopes and dreams are always the ones that are going to these big New York agencies. And that's mostly for the talent that they think they can find there and the reputation of the agencies that exist there. So a lot of the advertising I was doing there was very broad consumer marketing type stuff. None of it was really local to New York City. A lot of it is major national clients, and oftentimes they weren't even located in New York. So I spent a lot of time in Kansas City with certain clients. I spent a lot of time in Houston with a client. I spent time in Chicago and just outside of Chicago. So it's like you're traveling a little bit more for some of those meetings. And some of them certainly were in and around New York, but we weren't talking just to New York. To where I think Edmonton, we're a big city, but it kind of feels like a small town sometimes. And I think even with the types of clients that we have at Berlin, it's all very hyper local here. So we're either talking to people in Edmonton or we're talking to people in Alberta. We have clients that are out in Ontario as well right now, but it still feels like it's a bit more local, I would say, in terms of the types of work and the types of issues that we're talking about. And I think that's the other difference too, right? Like, we're not doing the mass consumer marketing work. We're doing issues driven work. So that also just feels like a little bit closer to home in terms of the brain power that you put towards something. It's not just like pushing a product and trying to make a sale at the end of the day, but instead it's a long-term game to start to shift perceptions.
Going off of that, would you say it's more fulfilling to do like this more social impact work than what you said, consumer work?
It's a good question. I really enjoyed, here's the thing. When I went to school, I like knew I wanted to be in advertising. So for me, moving to New York City and working on CoverGirl and Lululemon and these, you know, Chase Bank, like these really big brands that are in every household, like that, it was a dream come true for me. Once you've worked through it and you kind of get the process down and you kind of understand the ins and outs of it, I think I was looking for something that felt more fulfilling. So I don't regret any of it, I guess I would say. And it is very fulfilling to work on the stuff I'm working on now. And being new to Edmonton and new to Alberta and Canada, it's allowed me to feel so much more closer to this community and feel more connected in a way that I didn't expect. And I don't know that I would have gotten that if I had gone to any other city or country. So yeah, the purpose-driven work, the stuff that's working on complex issues and all that, is definitely fulfilling and definitely makes me feel a different kind of connection to the work.
You have a follow-up question, Ojo?
A little less about work, but you said like being new to Canada, was there any culture shocks that you experienced when you first got here?
Not particularly. I mean, everyone's super friendly. I think that's, you know, going from New York City to this is like a pretty big shift in terms of the people. And I would have to say that everyone in Edmonton has just been so lovely. But, you know, the reason I came here was because of my husband being from Edmonton. So I feel like any of those cultural things, I kind of had a slow burn at the intro to it with him. So, you know, I got to go skating on the outdoor rink for the first time. And I don't know, like we go ice fishing sometimes. Like there's other cute little things like that. I think also just seeing like the melting pot of different cultures and backgrounds here is lovely. And that's something I loved about New York City. It was like, we lived in like a Greek neighborhood. And so we had amazing Greek food all around us. And you could walk down the street and hear like, I don't know, three languages spoken at any given time, right? So I love that diversity still kind of like exists here too. It doesn't feel like it's all the same people. And I found that really refreshing and kind of exciting for growing a family here too. So I don't know that there's any like big culture shocks. I will say I did learn I'm kind of rambling at this point. I did learn that, do we call it the Canadian National Anthem? What do we call it?
Yeah, the National Anthem. Yeah.
It's called that here? I learned it by watching the Oilers games. So I've become a really big hockey fan. I was just at the game last night.
She loves it.
I love it. I'm all about it. And I love that I can sing both of the anthems at the start of the games because I've been watching hockey now. And that was kind of cool for me.
Nice. I love that. I guess New York would have, so because of the diversity, probably wasn't anything like food-wise that'd be different. Have you tried poutine yet?
Love poutine. Oh my gosh. Love language is poutine.
Have you tried donair poutine?
I don't think I've tried donair poutine. Should I put it on my list?
Yes.
Okay, I'll put that on the list. Done.
Moving forward, actually we'll stick on this line of less work-related questions. Or this is still kind of work-related, but if you had to pick anyone to be the face, this is directed both of you, by the way, to be the face of your next ad campaign, it could be a celebrity, an artist, superhero, whoever, who would you pick and why?
To add to that, also this would have no budget, no limit, just anything you can think of. Sky's the limit.
It's got to be Connor McDavid because there's nothing more Edmonton than Connor McDavid. So I think that would serve us well. And Kelby just loves the Oilers.
I love Connor McDavid. But also, I feel like, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
Is there anyone else, Kelb? I'm trying to think like Edmonton. Yeah. We do so much stuff that's just so Edmonton.
Like any of the Oilers would be great.
Any of them would be perfect.
What would the ad be about?
Really could be anything, could it?
Where's our strategy mind on this one?
I think Connor McDavid could change perceptions about anything. I don't think we need to even pick a topic.
You know, here's what I was going to say. Connor McDavid is really good about talking about hockey. He knows hockey. He loves hockey. Get him talking about hockey. He's going to be the most comfortable on camera. So I would say it would need to be something hockey related for that campaign. Also, just if you have a hockey, like the world's best hockey player.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think we failed that question.
I think we did too.
You guys went really local.
Yeah.
I thought we were trying to open this
yeah, up. Yeah, yeah.
We were thinking like, you know, more worldwide. But that's okay.
On the way over when we were talking about this question, I kind of pitched out Obama because everyone loves Obama and I just miss him. And I just wish that he could come back into our lives. I kind of said Obama, so that would be my other option.
That's our big one.
Yeah. Also, like, if he can't change your mind, who can? You know?
I agree. Motivational speech.
Love that guy. Or Michelle. We could also take Michelle.
I love Obama. 100%.
Or do we go into conspiracy theories and say Kate Middleton?
Well, she can't do one because she's dead.
What has been... I've been seeing stuff recently about... I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. It's been a hot topic that we've been discussing at our office, if I'm honest.
Yeah, we're trying to like actually have meetings discussing work that's going on and planning for the week. And we're all like, what about Kate Middleton?
And to be fair, from a PR angle, Justin Archer, one of our partners, was like, you know what? If I was the PR person for the Palace, this is what I would do. And I was like, yeah, this is work related.
It was a case study.
It was a case study.
In PR.
We need to send them a letter.
Yeah. There's just a whole conspiracy theory that she died and she's been photoshopping. Or they've been photoshopping her into photos because there was this weirdly photoshopped photo that she posted on Mother's Day.
And some say it was weird. AI generated.
Yeah, that too. We really analyzed this in our professional meeting the other day.
We don't know where she is. So if she's the next face of our campaign.
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one.
Yeah.
It's fine. We can just AI generate the whole thing.
Oh,
honestly.
Unlocked.
You should send them an email and be like, we want her to be the face of our next campaign just to see how they
what
respond.
What would they say?
Yeah.
They would be like, our royals don't do commercial work.
We're like, that seems like a cover up.
Yeah. And then we'll blast them for it all over the internet.
Into the next question is, what has been your favorite project to work on while at Berlin?
I think probably K-Days.
Oh yeah,
I
K-Days.
I feel like you're probably the same boat. K-Days is really cool because we got to work on it in so many different ways. It wasn't just an ad campaign. We've kind of talked about K-Days a lot to every person that we've met, but we did their rebranding last year. So if you were at K-Days at all and you saw any of the new signage or any of the ads or the social media or anything, that was pretty much all us. So that was kind of special, and it was cool just to like be at the fair and you look around and see all the stuff that you know your shop's been grinding away on for months and months and months. But then also during K-Days, we manage all their media relations. So we're on site the whole entire time, talking to reporters, getting them stories, driving them around in golf carts. So we're very deeply involved in it and we get to be there the whole time. So it's something that we're really passionate about.
The best days are at K-Days.
The 10 best days of the summer. That's what they say.
Yeah.
Do you have any K-Days thoughts? You love K-Days
too. No, I think you. I love K-Days. I think you nailed it though.
It's just something it's fun. It's colorful. It's out there in the world. We just had a really good time with it.
Going off of that, can you tell us a little bit about what goes into working in these projects or what are the steps going into like creating this? Like what you said, you guys rebranded K-Days. So what were the steps leading up to that?
Lots of steps for sure. Definitely started out with a lot of research.
Yeah.
You can talk about that, Kelby.
They being the clients kind of knew that there was a perception issue around K-Days to start with. And it was a product that they were kind of handed from Northlands. So, you know, new ownership of that, new management of it. They needed to figure out what the general public felt about K-Days in order to kind of start to map out what needed to happen. So yeah, they went through this whole reimagination strategy where they talked to a bunch of Edmontonians and stakeholders in the space to kind of figure out what's working, what's not working, and how do we shift that. So that's when we put together our brief.
Yeah, I was like, K-Days didn't really have this strong brand before, really, because there's lots of people that had that attachment to Klondike Days when it was Klondike Days, but then it changed names a couple times and it was capital X and it was all these other things. So just trying to like build this brand that was the best things that everyone loved about it throughout the years in its various different forms. And we just kind of really tried to exemplify, you know, those 10 best days of summer when the sun is out until 10, 11, and you just, it's just pure happiness and fun and pure Edmonton. And so that was kind of the brief. So kind of the steps are, once we came up with that and we had an idea that the client was on board with, then we brief that to our creative team and they start coming up with how our vision turns into something, you know, on paper that people actually engage with.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's like you start digging in and you're like, oh, maybe we should actually think about the logo. You know, the logo is not telling the story it needs to tell. How do we develop something that's going to help us tell that story? So we start working on that logo design as we're crafting all of our external messaging and coming up with the overall look and feel. And we need some photography that, you know, starts to speak to that as well. So we get a shoot together and we do that. And what are our TV commercials going to look like? We know we need to be on TV. So how do we craft a message there that's going to be fun and effective and still like speak to the tonality that we've just come up with? So you kind of start to think through all these pieces and it slowly starts to add up and you just kind of take it day by day when things are kind of crazy.
The messaging, I think, is really the foundation of everything. We use that to kind of build everything, but there's so many different streams that were going on at the same time. There's, yeah, the commercials, there's figuring out how we're going to, you know, make a social media persona that is K-Days and has that level of fun and excitement. Oh, yeah.
There was
and
like a whole toolkit we had to put together for social media.
And then just even all the printed pieces are such a huge thing. Like we had giant hoarding on the side of the one piece of Northlands that was still under construction, like absolutely massive kind of signage. So the production of all that, and then all the media planning for the ads and the commercials and all that. There's so many streams of stuff going on all the time.
Yeah. It was all hands on deck.
It really was. Whole team.
Just to add to that, you guys, since K-Days is like for everyone, for every demographic, and you have to create different personas, what did you find was the best avenue for reaching these target markets, or based on what you guys did, was it like social media, TV, like which demographic did you guys reach the most and in which channel?
It's a good question. I don't know that either one of us have the answer to it just because we weren't managing that part of it. But I would say we had four distinct personas that we worked off of. And we realized like when you start to map out kind of where those people are in terms of their media habits, there's a lot of overlap. So when you kind of start to lay out those personas and we put together these persona maps of how do they think, how do they feel, how do they talk, right? Like you start to see some of the overlaps that are happening in terms of where they're consuming their news, where they might be getting their entertainment from. And so then you go and you build your media plan off of that to make sure that you're hitting the right eyeballs. So I think we had a lot of out of home because, you know, that's kind of the biggest thing around Edmonton is making sure that people are aware that K-Days is coming. And the best way to do that is when people are driving around in their cars and they can see, or they're on the bus, right? We had a lot of bus ads. We had the bus shelters. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
A lot of out of home, I think, was big for us. And then a lot of digital, like you can get so targeted on digital and it's amazing what these digital vendors can do these days in terms of how they target people. I learned about this a little bit yesterday with one of our media vendors, but like they're able to kind of like feel out your emotions based on the content that you're consuming.
That's crazy.
So they can then target you. So it's wild. I'm like, this feels like an invasion of privacy.
But it gets the job done.
But it gets the job done. So if we know that someone's cooped up in their house with their two kids all summer and they need something to do to get their kids out of the house, we're like, hey, go to K-Days.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of using different streams kind of allows us to get the biggest pool of people when you are dealing with the different demographics. So we have all that out of home, but then we're also able to really specifically target some groups through ads and media buying. So you try to just get the biggest, cast the biggest net you can, I guess, when you're doing that kind of stuff. And then
I will say, like, even the PR side of what we do, like, we're not just there the 10 days of K-Days, but like even leading up to it, we're putting on press events, we're sending out press releases, we're getting the media ready for it. So all of that's earned media. We're not paying for, but we know the media loves to talk about K-Days. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting when the cameras show up and they start to capture content of what's coming, what's new. And then that's all over the news at night, right? So, or it's on the news three times a day as they cycle through everything.
Yeah, we had like, what, three or four Edmonton Journal covers throughout the 10 days. Like, that's all earned media from our PR kind of work. So we're not paying to get on the front cover of Edmonton Journal. So that's a really cool one too.
So obviously you guys worked the 10 days, but how long did all of this project take? Like, I'm assuming literal months and months of the sheer amount of prep work and printing and everything. Just like a rough estimate how long this K-Days project took.
I think we pitched it like November, December. I think we were awarded the work in December.
I was going to say, I think we did it in 6 months, but it would have been, if we had longer, that would have been great. We were all hands on deck that whole 6 months, which is, we got it done and it was awesome. But like, so it was a 6 months of crunching, essentially, to get that done. So it was a huge project.
And like, were you guys also still working on other projects at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds terrible.
It's good fun. It keeps you busy.
Actually, I was working on growing a baby. I went on mat leave. We like won the business and then I was gone like 2 months later. I was like,
Have fun with that.
Yeah. That is basically what happened. But we lived.
They did great.
We vented to her a little bit here and there. She was still very supportive.
Yeah. I got to go and experience all the fun at K-Days after I had my baby. So that was cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on to the next question. We have been talking a lot about advertising and stuff like that. So a lot of people, us students, marketing students, think that that's all marketing is. It's just advertising. So what are the other avenues that exist in marketing that people may not know about?
Yeah, well, even just in our agency, not all that we do is advertising. Advertising for me personally is only actually a pretty small part of what I do. Maybe like a quarter of the clients I work on would be ads and campaigns. I do quite a bit of public relations and communications kind of work. So there's still usually components that will tie into advertising in a sense. There might be a creative component that goes along with doing some sort of strategic communications. We have clients that we do like annual reports for and things like that, or just I do lots of media events personally, getting coverage and earned media for clients. So I think even just within an agency, there's all those different routes, and kind of being an accounts person in an agency, you know, you're not just doing advertising. It's really, if you like working with clients and talking to people and problem solving, you kind of get to do all of that, especially in a small shop like Berlin. You kind of get to get your hands a little bit onto things like strategy. You get to be really involved in that creative work and watch it happen kind of step by step, which I didn't really know was an option when I was a marketing student, that you could actually be, you know, that close to such big creative work. I kind of thought they were just separate things, but we're all in one place, you know, doing it together, which I think is really interesting. Advertising doesn't have to be the whole thing you do, even if you're in an ad agency, really.
And I mean, if you think about any major company or corporation, they all have a marketing department. So, and a marketing budget. So whether that's like sending out newsletter emails every week or every month and like keeping a membership updated on what's happening, you're controlling the message for that company. If I think about my favorite team, the Oilers, and going to the game, it's like you're sitting in that arena and you're surrounded by advertising, you're surrounded by activations that are happening. So like promotional things, like the Ford vehicle that's sitting there in Ford Hall when you walk, like Ford Hall. Okay. That's marketing too. It kind of just like consumes you. And then like, even looking up at the Jumbotron in between the plays, it's like, there's videos playing, there's content there. So it's like the idea of just creating content and crafting messages, it kind of is everywhere and every company needs it. So
yeah, I think there's like, you can kind of find your niche within marketing in a lot of ways, depending on what you're interested in. Like if you love numbers, there's lots of companies that we work with that do market research for us. Like, that's an avenue. Yep. There's media buying, which is lots of, you know, tweaking things and looking at how ads are performing and optimizing that. There's opportunities to be more involved with the creative kind of stuff. There's opportunities to be on more of the communication side of things. So it's like, there's lots of realms within marketing that you can kind of specialize in or do a little bit of everything, which is also fun.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I feel like, do you feel like you're always being pushed messages to? Because as people who work in an ad agency and marketing, obviously you know the tactics, you know the strategies and stuff like that. So when you navigate the world, do you kind of think, oh, you see this, I'm like, oh, I know they're trying to get to me, so it's not going to get, like, kind of avoid? Because I know personally, I see things, I'm like, oh, I know this is trying to get me to buy something, or I know this is just pushing a message, so I kind of tune it out. But I feel like you're constantly being told things, whatever it is. Even like you said, like Ford Hall, you're going there to watch a hockey game. Yeah. You're not really going there to buy a car. But
I don't know. I kind of feel like sometimes when I see a really, really targeted ad to me that's like super specific, I'm kind of just like, nice.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Nice work. Yeah. Like, you got me. So I don't really feel like that. I think that, you know, people are selling products and targeting you for a reason. Maybe it is something that you should look into.
You didn't know you could live without.
I know.
I'm like, thank you for telling me about this product or service that I had no idea about. Yes, I do want that scalp massage that you're pushing towards me.
I will order it right now. Thank you. Yeah, I actually don't really feel ever like it's being pushed on me. I'm more so like, that was really good. That was really good marketing.
I also like, I sometimes get offended if I feel like the messaging isn't quite right. I'm like, yeah, come so on, true. Guys. Like, I'm not buying those hiking boots. I don't go hiking.
You're not even stalking me.
Yeah.
Try harder.
Try harder. Do better.
Well, kind of going off of the ads and stuff, how do you guys stay innovative, ensure that you capture the attention of your target audience, considering everyone else is also competing for the same consumer attention?
I think that that's something that we struggle with a little bit less than typical ad agencies, just because we're not usually fighting for consumer attention to, for example, buy something. We're more so trying to really target messaging to make people feel a certain way about things or maybe change an opinion. So I kind of think that as long as we're really strategic and our messaging is really on point, we don't have to worry about, you know, competing with other things. It's more so, you know, it's like, it's just getting the message across more so than anything.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's being super, yeah, I think the strategy has to be sound in order for you to even begin to think about innovative ways to get in front of people. Trying to think of a couple of examples that we could provide. I'm totally blanking. AFPA.
Yeah, we do work for the Alberta Forest Products Association, which is, you know, trying to get people to realize that Alberta forestry is something that's actually planned super well and it's super sustainable. And it's not just, you know, logging trucks that people see. So we just finished up a big campaign where it was a giant Sasquatch telling like myths of the forest, which was pretty cute. But it's like we weren't trying to sell anyone anything, but we
had to get their attention, right? And I think that's kind of,
I guess that's like the big thing is, how do we grab attention?
Yeah. And I mean, but like, what's not going to, I don't know, Sasquatch grabbed my attention. We try to find, I don't know, like our creative team is really good about taking the strategy and then going out and thinking about ways that are new and fresh and captivating. Mm-hmm. And I think like also just staying up to date on what's timely, right? Like totally. The timeliness of a campaign can make or break you. If we were to put out an ad campaign right now about the royal family, it would probably get a lot of attention because of what's going on in the news. Yeah. Where is Kate?
Tune in the next episode. No, just kidding. Okay. For the next question, it's more directed towards Evan. So you entered at Berlin in a PR and communications role. Have you ever had to manage a crisis, or how was it like working as an intern and navigating that?
Yeah, definitely I've had to help manage a couple crises. A lot of the stuff that you do in terms of crisis comms when you work in PR and communications is quite sensitive, so I can't exactly give you a really good example. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, helping clients realize that it's something that you can figure out, putting things in perspective, you know, just kind of, you know, trying to get them to not freak out is more so the biggest thing. Our one partner who specializes in PR, he always says, don't join the freak out. Like, just don't join it. Don't subscribe. So that's kind of our biggest thing. And then just figuring out how we can help a client manage that. I know a lot of people, when they think of public relations, they think of like TV and like spinning stories. That's not really what real PR is. It's really helping get, you know, the truth out and finding the right way to approach things that's the best for everyone. But in terms of, yeah, my internship, it was in public relations. I did the McEwen public relations diploma after I finished my marketing degree here at the U of A. So it's kind of cool that it started out in this PR role and I got really cool experience doing PR work and, you know, dealing with crises and putting out press releases and all that. But then when I was hired on full time, my role also became I got to use lots of my marketing experience to work on the ad side of things and get to do a little bit of everything. So it was a really great growth opportunity. Berlin has lots of opportunities to expand into different parts of the work. So I wasn't just, you know, pigeonholed into that. It's been really interesting. But then I still get to use my PR knowledge and lead a lot of the PR work that we do.
It's nice to know. For you guys said that Berlin dabbles in a lot of different marketing sides. What would you say is your most favorite side of marketing or technique that you like to use? And that's kind of like one of our easier chill questions is what marketing trend technique would you stand by and what marketing trend technique would you leave behind? Like should have been left like a year ago.
I mean, I think this isn't really a technique or a trend, but just like standing by the research and the strategy is really important. Like if you have solid strategy and good messaging, that's the most important thing. So making sure that you take the time to do that, definitely keep that one going.
And I think like for a brand, knowing what you stand for, right? Like don't try to appeal to everyone all the time. If you actually have like a solid stance on something and
stick by it,
you know, like there's going to be people that applaud you for that. And if you have like strategy and data to back you up, like you're not wrong. I don't know. I feel like video is such a, if we're talking about like tactics, like video is such a powerful tool to tell a story. And so I'm always like super excited to produce video content, whether it's for digital purposes or, you know, like it's going to live on a website or it's actually going to be a TV commercial or it's something that's going in an email to someone. Like I love the power of video. So that's something I want to continue to watch and see it grow and evolve.
Even just a quick TikTok.
Like TikTok.
Of that,
oh my God, amazing.
It's been just a huge thing. So definitely more of that. Keep it going. Although, yes, are you cringing? Because TikTok might get closed,
oh, yeah.
Shut down.
Timeliness.
Quick videos, though, are great.
Yeah, just because, I mean, I don't know. Depending on when this goes out, it may or may not already be done. But TikTok is highly likely getting banned in the U.S. So
wild.
Well, Instagram Reels, here to save the day.
YouTube Shorts stocks are going up.
Yeah, no kidding. Bring back Vine.
Yeah, bring back
Honestly,
Vine.
Honestly,
that's what we're saying.
We should. I would love that.
Yeah, even if it's not TikTok, I think just like the power of a 30-second really good video, that's been a really big thing. I think that's something that will just keep going.
What do you leave behind?
Trying to please everyone. And being
trying
funny.
To please everyone, yeah. Doesn't matter the tactics.
That's not just for brands. That's for everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think we might see like the personification of brands being left behind slowly. I think like the Wendy's Twitter, the scrub, what is it? Like the scrub daddy, the Duolingo bird, whatever. Yeah. I feel like I'm starting to see people obviously really love those at first, but I'm starting to see public perception turn on a little bit. But like, oh, this is kind of annoying now. Like, oh, there's too many companies doing it now. It was nice when it was like a few, but now that it's everyone, like that's a industry-wide tactic. I feel like people are like, yeah, we can kind of, we're done. So, but specifically the Duolingo bird, people hate the Duolingo bird.
He's gone too far. He's that little green owl.
Yeah. Okay. What does he do? Does he talk?
He's always saying stuff on the internet.
Always being random people's comments.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like whoever they're paying to be him and run their like marketing, they're working overtime.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Okay. Moving forward, what is something that you wish you knew when you were entering the industry?
I feel like that's a you question. Because I'm like, I love advertising. Put me in, coach.
Yeah. I think I wish that I knew how much opportunity there was. I think I felt like advertising wasn't really this thing that was like that you could do in Edmonton, being, you know, Edmonton, but there is so much you can do. There's lots of cool agencies. I think we're a pretty cool agency and we get to
be the coolest.
We might be the coolest. I don't know. We're not like other agencies. We're a cool agency. I think just like realizing the opportunity in Edmonton to get to do really cool advertising and marketing completely exists. You just have to look for it.
I would second that.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is the best way to look for that? Like, is it literally just scouring job boards? Is it connections, going to events, or
all of the above? I think if do your research. If you find an agency that you think is cool and it resonates with you, reach out. See if you can go see the office or have a coffee or talk, like message someone on LinkedIn from there, and just kind of put in the work to learn as much about it as you can. Because a lot of times agencies, being on the smaller side, they might not post jobs, or they might already have someone lined up for a job. So kind of getting your foot in the door and get your face in there. And
yeah, I think that repetition of getting in front of people saying like, hi, I'm here.
Yeah. And just like knowing your stuff, do your research.
Yeah, right. Totally. But like if we're putting out a job posting, I'm going to be much more likely to want to talk to people who I've seen before, who I've talked to before, that put in the work to reach out to me, right? Like all of that kind of stuff. So I think that's kind of a little tip there, but also, yeah, I mean, like the ACE Club is a really great resource here.
Totally.
In Edmonton.
Yeah. If you're interested in advertising, getting involved with ACE kind of gives you a really great idea of what there is. They're doing, I think next month or later this month, they're doing agency tours. So they have days where they're going to basically all the different agencies, which is a really cool way to kind of actually see what's going on there and see what agencies exist. And they do stuff like that, you know, all the time. They have lots of networking and events.
Perfect. Thank you for the knowledge. Because I'm about to graduate, so I need as much help as I can get. But
follow-up question. So for students like Ojo, who's graduating, what type of knowledge or tool do you think people who want to get into marketing or the ad side of marketing in general, what they should learn or have going into the industry that'll help them?
Passion and a little bit of hustle. Like, you can't learn everything in school. It's a wonderful foundation and it gives you lots of knowledge that you use. But I think if you want to be in advertising, showing initiative and passion and...
Yeah, it's the grit for me that I always come back to. I'm like, I want to see that you've... I don't know. Like, for me personally, I was like working an internship, working a part-time job, going to school 18 hours a week or 19 hours a week or something absurd. Like, I was... grinding. And I think like showing that work ethic and showing that passion for the work is so important. And as a company, you want to invest in people who want to invest in you. So, I think that's it. It's like giving a shit.
Mm-hmm. Can we swear on this podcast?
I mean, yeah, free reign. Yeah, no one has, but it was free reign.
Oh, good. Leave it to me.
It's a first. You're the first.
Okay. So more on the chill, fun question side. What is your favorite ad campaign of this year so far? And what's your least favorite, if you have one?
Okay. I have a silly one. Only because my husband and I are constantly like quoting it to each other. And I think it's for Manja Pizza. Is that a thing? Manja, manja, manja. Or maybe it's like Mario's. It's a restaurant. I don't know. It's like a kid and he's like sitting at the table. And he's like, oh, pop, they got more meatballs. And he's like doing this whole like hand gesturing thing. And he's like super Italian about it. And I love it. I think it's so cute. I remember it. I talk about it. I have not gone there to eat the food, but I think it's a fun little commercial.
Will you consider going there to eat the food? No?
I don't know. Well, but I'd watch more of their ads.
I like it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Best of 2024.
Heard it here first.
2024 has only been going on for a very short period of time. So I feel like that's a bit tricky. I would say if we can go into 2023, obviously Barbie.
Barbie. Yeah.
That was just a phenomenal ad campaign. The way that they did everything was so cool. I think they absolutely...
Partnerships were on another level.
Absolutely unmatched. The pink billboard. With nothing on it. The pink, it was everything to me.
I love when you Googled Barbie and the whole Google page turned pink.
And like the firework?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was genius.
I'd never seen it before.
I think it was like such an integrated ad campaign and they thought of everything and it was just so cool.
Did their marketing person get an Oscar?
I hope so.
Gosh.
We'll bring that up.
Yeah.
Next question is if you could go back in time and be part of any marketing campaign ever that you loved or didn't like, what would it be and why?
Can we say Barbie again?
Yeah, if that was your favorite, yeah.
I just think that'd be a really cool one to be a part of just because they got to do so much. Like they were not limited by anything.
I literally watched on the plane ride the other day an HGTV Barbie Dream Home makeover show. It was like 4 episodes, but it was like all of these like HGTV stars and they literally made a Barbie Dream Home. And Ashley Graham was the host. And like, it was so smart. That's what I'm saying. Like everything they did was so smart.
Like that's actually genius. I would totally buy a Mojo Dojo Casa house.
Right?
Yes. See, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it was just like the fact that it was like no idea was a bad idea. They were like, let's do everything. Yeah. So cool.
Do you have one you'd like to be a part of?
I can't think of anything right now, but definitely something sports related. Probably somewhere in football, soccer realm, or something volleyball. Probably those two. How about you, Ojo?
Maybe like 2010 World Cup, I think. Oh, yeah. That was very, that was like, everything was just super well done. The music, who they brought in, like the celebrities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was like, that's kind of the top for me. Or, I don't know. I feel like Super Bowl is a basic answer because you can kind of pick any Super Bowl and they're good. But I think that would also, very stressful probably, but probably would also be very fun.
I think it'd be cool to be a part of any of them. Yeah. That's a fair answer for sure.
Yeah, moving into the wrap up, do you guys have any questions for us?
Where can I listen to this podcast?
It's on, I think, 10 platforms. So like Spotify, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, a separate app for some reason. Pretty much everywhere that's not YouTube podcasts, I think. I couldn't figure out how to put it on that one, to be honest. Google doesn't like to play nice. But pretty much anywhere else you get your podcast, we have it there. Yeah.
Because I want to listen to more. I'm excited.
It's called The Marketing Major. We have a nice little purple logo with like a mic and a little nice little banner. We have a bunch of different, we have guests, other guests, corporate from Edmonton, other students, business owners, other, just all things marketing.
Amazing.
Are either of you interested in working in an agency now? Did we convince you?
It's a little scary. It seems like very fast paced, but like, I think if there's any time to work in an agency, it is now, like at the beginning of my career. I don't think I'm going to want to come back to that 7-10 years down the line. So
the cool thing about doing it at the beginning is that you get to try a little bit of everything and that can kind of guide what you want to focus on and move your career forward too.
Yeah. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up still.
I know.
Okay. So yeah, is there anything you want to share? Now you guys totally have the floor. You can plug yourself or anything.
I think just connect with Berlin on our socials. We're pretty active on everything. Our Instagram is BerlinCom. Our LinkedIn is Berlin Communications.
We're launching a new website very soon. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. We're very excited for that to go live. It's all going to be like jazzy and fun to engage with. So, and if you like our swag, there's going to be a little shop online too. So that's a little Easter egg nugget that you can go and search around the site and see if you can find. But yeah, connect with us. We have fun TikToks.
We do.
I like watching them. If it doesn't get banned.
Then we will continue making TikToks.
Sorry for all of our US listeners.
So many.
All right. That's pretty much it.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks for coming on our show.
This has been lovely.
It's been very fun. We just got finished recording with Berlin Communications with Kelby and Evan, and it was so much fun to talk to them and get more insight about their careers, what they like, get more insight into the industry as a whole. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at marketingmajor.mp3. Give us a like on our Spotify or whatever platform you use to listen to us, and stay tuned for our next episodes.